Atheist Nomads, episode 303, The Science of Fundamentalism.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
So recording didn't go quite according to plan this week, and had everything just about ready, and Lauren called. She had a migraine hitting 2 hours away from getting back home from visiting her parents for a few days with the baby. And with the migraine, she was losing vision in her left eye. So Aaron gave me a ride out to Twin Falls, and we met up with Lauren, and I drove her back. Fortunately, we have some pre-recorded material left over from the five-hour live stream for episode 300. So this is going to be the second hour of that here in a little bit. As a warning, I had been drinking rum, Diet Dr. Pepper, and peach juice, which is an amazing, delicious cocktail. A little too delicious. And so I was a little buzzed. I've also been thinking a lot about Patreon. They put my account on hold last week, and they did release the funds after I opened up a ticket with them. I am not happy with them. This is not the first time this has happened. In fact, out of the last 9 payouts, only 5 have been on time, and this is the second time they've actually put the funds on hold. The other 2 were just system glitches. And the story's been different each time. I've been trying to get a legitimate, honest answer out of the trust and safety team. And with what they're saying, either they can't competently run a secure website, or they're lying. And I have a hard time believing that their site is so insecure that somebody attempting to make a pledge could take over my account. Far more likely, they're lying about the true reasons why they're putting accounts on hold when something suspicious happens. And it's probably something pretty reasonable, like what they were saying it was last time. Actually, they didn't even give it a real answer then, but it's probably just they're trying to hold the funds to make sure that if something gets charged back by the bank, that there's money in the account to cover it. That would be a pretty reasonable thing to say, but they wouldn't say that. Instead, they're just going to lie. And I don't want to trust somebody with my money who's going to be lying. I am in the process of building a replacement system, so watch for announcements about that. When I get it completed and ready to launch, I will be talking to patrons directly to try to coordinate getting switched over. And I think it'll be a good change in the long run. Be nice to cut out the middleman. And if Patreon is going to be lying, yeah, I don't want to mess with that. I want to work with organizations that I can trust. And it's disappointing. But enough about that for now. Next week, we'll be back with regular news. But for this week, we're going to have the second hour from the episode 300 live stream with Jason Ward joining us. Enjoy.
We're welcoming Jason.
Jason is with us.
Second hour.
Hi, it's Jason.
Jason Ward.
This is unstructured, but we're going to talk about science.
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 Let's talk about, what do you want to talk about, Jason?
Oh, I didn't know I had to pick.
You don't. I've got something in mind for you.
Dustin has something in mind for you.
So a 2017 study, for some reason,
outdated,
is hitting the news again. Some scientists took a look at, and this was published in the journal Neuropsychologica.
Okay.
And they started out with the hypothesis of religious fundamentalism being at least in part, being caused by functional impairment in the prefrontal cortex. Oh, wow. The later hours are going to be rough.
Oh, this will be fun.
And they did their study comparing a control group plus brain damaged Vietnam veterans and some non-brain damaged Vietnam veterans.
Who still have PTSD, obviously.
No, not necessarily.
Maybe.
And what they found was the proportion of religious fundamentalism heavily, heavily, heavily correlated with the brain damage. Like, beyond just significantly significant, as in suggesting that prefrontal cortex issues is the cause of religious fundamentalism.
All right. That sounds like a really interesting study.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I also think that it's like a valid way to investigate that, because I don't remember what the word for it is, but I'm like a physicalist.
And look at the camera.
Look
materialist.
At the camera.
Materialist, yes. Hello, listeners. Hello, watchers.
Look at the camera. Look at the camera.
Constantly?
Yeah. Like, when if you you're talking, talk, you better talk at the camera.
All right, I'll talk to the camera. Hello, camera. What is your make and model?
But no, this is highly plausible that, because religious fundamentalism is had already been studied, and they'd found out that it correlated negatively with
wow, apparently I'm that distracted.
Open-mindedness.
Do you need food?
I need peach.
So if you make people more closed-minded, they're more likely to be more religiously fundamentalist.
Right.
And it made sense that if the prefrontal cortex is not working well, that you are more likely to have poor functioning. Wait.
So my
what
question.
What the hell did I just say?
Yeah. So my question to you, I'm just going to ask it, because my question is: are they saying that these fundamentalists, their prefrontal cortex is not working, like the same as someone who's had brain damage? Is that what it's saying?
There, what the hypothesis was that any issues with prefrontal cortex function would result in a increase in the chance of somebody being a religious fundamentalist.
Right. So, I mean, this article splashing out and saying basically anybody who's a fundamentalist has brain damage then.
No, I don't think that's what it's saying at all.
No,
that's
okay,
not,
good.
Not what they're
that's
saying.
That's an easy extrapolation to make if you're right. not putting any thought into it.
Right.
But for a great
example. Well, that's why I bring this up so that we can start talking about it.
For a great example, when you look at the Adventist church in its history, its most significant leader was Ellen White, who was hit in the head with a stone hard enough to cause severe headaches, vision issues, and to cause her to have to drop out of school in third grade. She went on to have visions. She was hit in the forehead with a stone. Direct frontal lobe damage. And she became quite the fundamentalist prophet. And the Adventist Church is small f fundamentalist. It might be worth noting there are fundamentalist churches, capital F. A lot of the Pentecostal churches are fundamentalist, capital F. But there is also fundamentalist small f, which Adventists and a lot of Baptists that aren't quite capital F fundamentalists all fit in, that believe the Bible is the inerrant truth of God or word of God. And often the more fundamentalist the group, the more likely they are to accept prophets. And a lot of those prophets are likely having very serious psychological or physiological brain problems. Like prefrontal cortex issues.
Yeah, I could see that. That kind of makes sense to me, because I've heard about evolutionary talk about the reason humans evolved to have a belief in a higher power is like a natural extension of when our ancestors were beginning to form and be able to communicate to hunt better. Communication strategy made us better hunters, which made us more successful. And the groups that hunted best had like an organization structure, which meant that like any tribes that had a tendency to respect a leader and follow orders would do better, which in that natural extension of that is you get hardwired to look to somebody higher up the chain than you to give you direction and like teach you how to do your life. And that can extend into the spiritual very easily. So, like, from an evolutionary standpoint, the fact that people believe in higher powers makes sense to me, and I think it was a part of becoming successful and being like the species that now is dominating the planet. So, the brain function affecting how people respond to that. I could see that, like, I don't know anything about this study. I haven't read it. So this is all just off the top of my head. But I would suspect that the lack of brain function, like the people that would do well would be more inclined to give themselves over to somebody that can help them, which could tap into that evolutionary structure of looking to somebody higher to be in charge to help you survive. So that could be a function of that. I could see that happening. I would be interested in what their future work was in that paper and what they were going to study next.
Well, and one of the things that's really interesting to look at is the older somebody is, the more conservative they tend to be. And as people age, prefrontal cortex function diminishes. That is an unfortunate part of the advanced aging process. And elderly people, if you look at a lot of very conservative churches, the only people left in the church are over the age of 60. This is true of my parents' church.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's over 60. It could be argued the reason they're staying and everybody else has left is their brains have degraded to the point where they can still put up with the bullshit.
Yeah, or they just don't know anything else and they don't want to leave.
Like, right, also that. But as people age, also, they become more gullible. They are more susceptible to internet and phone scams, which is one of the reasons why it's so terrifying how much the high percentage of phone calls that are spam calls actually are, even on cell phones.
Right.
Most phone calls people get now are fake phone calls.
Yeah, any phone call that I get from Idaho that I don't know, I block it. Also, very close to my number.
Yeah.
Anything very close to my number, I'm like, right, no.
Yeah. Weird, the robocalls.
Yeah.
And so it's not surprising that if somebody is becoming more gullible as they age, and that is a well-established fact that as people age, like past the age of 60, they become more and more gullible, which is why eventually when somebody becomes, more and more elderly, family members have to step in and take over their finances.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a long time to get to that point.
Right.
It often doesn't happen until it's a little bit too late. Those are the people that are most likely to be the most conservative. They're most likely to be Trump supporters. They're the most likely to be hardcore fundamentalist Christian, or just staying in whatever church they are, regardless of what happens, because brain function has diminished. And it's sad. Yeah.
That is sad. And it's also like, as you get older, like you start to feel mortality more. So like part of that could be establishing your spiritual connection because it's the next logical step in your belief system. And it's also the community that you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you are having a diminished brain function, you could also be more comfortable with what you know. So like I could see all of that playing together.
Right. This has really made the mood kind of a downer.
Well, nobody in my immediate family has lived past 60, so.
Really? Ooh.
My parents are... Well, my father has died. My mom, he was 68 when he died. My mom has just turned 70. And my stepdad, who I consider my dad, has just turned 75.
Nice.
My parents are on a walking tour of the Cotswolds in England right now.
Oh, that's cool.
Speaking about age stuff, and my... They just met a woman who is 70, and she has been doing walking tours through Spain and all over. She's about to go to Wales now. And then there was another woman who they were talking about or somehow saw or something like that. And they were like, oh, she must be in her 70s too. Nope. She is 97.
Wow.
Oh, I think the whole reason why it got brought up was because her kids make her call her every night. and so my parents are like, oh, how old is she? Like, well, she's 97. And my parents are, because they're bougie, they have a service that is taking their luggage from one bed and breakfast to the next, but this woman actually has the backpack. 97 has a backpack and has been walking with her backpack. But I did email them and I was like, could it be because she doesn't want to pay the money and she can do it? Like, come on, parents.
From the chat.
Yes, yes.
From Fat Girl Ballet. She's had the screen name for like 10 years. And her great-grandmother just turned 93, still alive and kicking it.
Sweet.
Colleen's grandma will be 94 later this year, though she's not really kicking it. Fat Girl Ballet then replied with, getting old sucks, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it does. That's why I got to do ballet, so even if you're a little overweight,
you do some water
mobile.
Ballet. Water ballet.
Like Swan Lake, but actually in the lake?
Yeah.
Okay, so we did get some questions.
Ooh, questions.
Whoa, questions. All right.
From Douglas, like a month ago.
Oh, yeah, Douglas.
Hello, Douglas.
One of them relevant to this question is, does forcing religion on young kids / children stunt their intellectual growth and development? How do you raise a child with secular and logical principles in a society that is consistent with... that is consistently shoving religion / theism down their throats? We just talked about brain damage resulting in religious fundamentalism. What about starting life in religious fundamentalism?
Yeah, that's just, you get structured to, can't look at the camera, Aaron. No, that's tough. Cause like you get inoculated to it, but really early. Or enculturated. I was trying to remember one of them fancy words. You get enculturated early on and it's what you know and you have no reason to question it, because like, why would your parents like tell you something that should be questioned, you know? My parents were, they didn't not believe, but they also didn't believe. Like they were just, they were, trying to think of the word for this, like they were apatheists, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to step in and say, cake.
I'm not used to being around Lauren without a baby on her.
I know. I am a person.
That happened earlier, enough so that we have this other scene called breastfeeding.
Baby on board. Nice.
Yep, basically.
Yep.
I don't produce much anymore, but she still wants it. So, baby on board.
I can feel that.
But no, like I grew up.
I hope you can.
I grew up in a gross. You know, and again, Adventist is small F fundamentalist, not capital F fundamentalist. We actually debated that in the seminary. And I fully believe, looking back on it, that I was physiologically incompatible with the belief system. That my brain structure from the start could not handle it. Because as I got older and I started learning more and I started college and I started taking classes, the amount of effort taken to try to restore my faith and continue believing got stronger and stronger. I think I was somebody who just happened to have the right combination of genetics and environment to be immune to it. Right. I do think there are people who don't get those opportunities, who don't, you know, I went to private school that taught Adventist theology in religion classes.
And how to survive in the wild.
How to survive in the wild. Oh man.
In case the world comes to an end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those guys like,
and you say that's not
dorks.
Capital F fundamentalist.
There are fundamentalist denominations who identify as fundamentalists. Those are capital F fundamentalists. Adventists do not identify as fundamentalists, but they are definitely fundamentalist. They are lowercase f fundamentalist.
This is really good cake, by the way.
Roast beef. But I had cousins, for example, who were homeschooled, new people who were homeschooled, who did not get to learn in a school that would try to teach things. And the amount of indoctrination was far higher It was.
So there's definitely still a chance, but a lot less of a chance. A lot lower.
Because I think what it really comes down to is intellectual development. There's your genetic potential. And for most humans, that genetic potential is high. We don't know how high that potential is because of environmental factors that can diminish that. But access to nutrition and access to intellectual exercise can really, really stunt that development. And
you mean encourage that development?
It access to good nutrition and access to mental exercise will encourage it.
Yes.
Being denied access to those things, being starved nutritionally or intellectually, will stunt that development.
Yeah.
And even if you have a genetically high potential, you're fucked. It's bad enough that it makes it to the point where any kind of study at this point into how effective or how much is intelligence genetic is bullshit, because we can't control for all of the different aspects that go into play.
Not ethically, anyway.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, Dustin and I had quite the conversation the other night about this, because he made a statement that I thought was way too grandiose, too sweeping, and I didn't understand the point he was trying to make, so I'd like to say I was playing dumb, but I wasn't. I was just kept pestering him about it, and we finally just like sussed it all out. It's like, okay, so it is genetics and environment, and sometimes environment can really screw you over.
No, without proper nutrition, like, you don't have the full capability like that your genes could produce.
Oh, absolutely.
Because your
sugar,
everything is built out of what you eat. Like, like, you are what you eat, as dumb as it sounds after hearing that for so many years, but you do need the building blocks to create what your genes need to make.
And I am red velvet cake.
Well, like, yeah, you are.
Like, even if you look at top
covered
level,
in cream cheese.
Even if you look at like top level athletes, there is a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of training, a lot of eating all of the right things and none of the wrong things. It is ridiculously hard work. If you don't have the right genetics to become a top level athlete, it is never going to happen.
You can get good, but you're never going to be the best.
You're never going to be a world champion.
Because you can't beat Michael Phelps' perfect body for swimming. That's just...
And anything else.
Like, especially when you start getting into the extremes of, like, Olympic gold medalists. They have weird mutations, like extra ligaments and atypical proportions that result in really bizarre things. Because... Yeah, normal people just aren't that good.
That's true. Like, for instance, I don't have any of those super-powered athletic genetics. All I have is I'm homogenous for being a rapid caffeine metabolizer, so that's kind of a ripoff.
Huh. So you chug coffee?
You're funny.
No, I have like 300 milligram energy drinks a day, and like, it's fine. Like, it doesn't make me jittery.
Oh, man. Hey. My peak caffeine consumption, I had one day where I started off with a ER 911 at Dutch Brothers.
Oh,
so
I've had
six
those.
Shots of espresso. I then followed that up with a double mocha. I think I had an energy drink in the middle, and then I had another energy drink, and I was fine. And I realized that's not good.
Yeah, I'd be crying.
Yeah, you probably have the same, like, homogenous, like, you make double the caffeine breakdown molecule. I would suspect. I did 23andMe, and then I got, well, my wife got a subscription to selfhack.com. We could load our 23andMe information into it, so we could figure out, all right, what drugs are going to work for us and which aren't.
Oh, fun. And now the government follows you, so.
I don't know. I don't know.
They got all your shit.
I really don't care.
Yeah, whatever.
From Fat Girl Ballet, love the couch, by the way. Yeah, the love seat there, both sides recline. We have a matching couch that has two sides that
recline.
Right,
Liz is fine with it.
And from Colleen, surviving in the wild, useful now. unless you're trying to hide from the government, because even the Civil Air Patrol can find you. This was something that I talked about on Atheist Talk. I was in Civil Air Patrol for like 9 years while I was in that organization, and I stopped being actively involved in 2007 when I left, actually when I left the seminary.
Yeah.
It coincided with that. I left my unit and I didn't like the one in Tacoma at McCord Air Force Base, and also was just really busy with work, but that's beside the point. They have aircraft now with multispectral imaging for search and rescue. And if you can find somebody who can't be found, guess what? You can find somebody who doesn't want to be found.
You can't really ever go off the grid, is what you're saying. Not here in the United States, we're saying.
No. And now we have satellites that are so good that they will find you anywhere.
This is really good for my... I hate science fiction and fantasy to read it because I think there's too much detail, but I am writing a book based on a dream that I had. And I was like, this is kind of science fiction fantasy. And now that you say that, this would be really good. I'm slowly but surely writing this book.
Yeah, you can't hide. Your best bet is that the government's going to be too gun shy. Right.
Well, and that's the whole point of the book, too. You can't hide from the government.
Okay.
So.
Sure you can. I've seen Predator. If you can hide from a predator with mud, you can hide from the government.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, and again from Colleen in the chat, regarding your caffeine intake, how did you live?
Well, he's alive. I would have like such a bad headache. I already have a headache right now because I'm not drinking enough water with my caffeine.
Mm.
Yeah, you gotta balance it. You should have like the equal amount of water just to balance it out.
I had one day in Everett when I went into work and I was so tired. Somebody was headed to the Jackson's just down the way and asked me if I wanted anything. He was like, give me the strongest energy drink you can. And he brought it in and it was all warning labels.
That's what I drink.
Yeah.
Included in the warning material was, if this is your first time having this.
Drink it slowly.
Only drink half. And see how you respond.
You drank the whole thing, didn't you? You're like, fuck warning labels.
One of the medical supervisors, she was a EMT, came in and was like, okay, I got to see this.
Oh, gosh.
So I chugged it. Actually, she took my vitals. I chugged it. Waited 15 minutes and she took my vitals again. Unaffected. Hmm. Blood pressure, pulse, everything. Maybe my pulse might have been up like 5 points.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
Do you know what I used to do? I used to just do a lot of cocaine, so...
Is that true?
Yeah.
For patrons at $2 or higher a month, we talked about Aaron's coke habit. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I like Jason's face of just like, what? I mean, I have a whole bit about it.
Stories
you just haven't been around lately.
Stories about how
I smoke when you go up.
How Aaron did coke... Not on the beach in the Virgin Islands.
I know. That was the one thing.
Yeah.
That was the one thing. We definitely drank. No.
Did you do rum and coke?
Yeah. You know, I did. Yeah. I did mushrooms and coke and rum and coke and
Sorted
ecstasy and
rum.
Coke. Yeah.
What haven't you done? It might be a shorter list.
Yeah, exactly. I have not done heroin.
What about Molly?
Okay.
I've done Molly, but not on
Molly,
coke.
Is Molly ecstasy?
MDMA, which is a pure form of what they've said, but
that's
I
where, like,
just recently did Molly,
fighting, right?
Actually. And it was amazing. It was like the best drug experience I've had.
If you did coke and heroin, that's called a speedball.
Yeah, speedball.
Yeah,
and
I've
that
never
is
done
the
heroin.
Single most likely thing to kill you.
Right, yeah,
that
absolutely.
That's what's killed most overweight comedians.
Well, I would never do that.
And quite plausibly my nephew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've done hillbilly heroin and threw up, and so
the
I was like,
fuck is that?
I'm not going to do that. I mean, it's an opioid, right? Like, it's just a prescription medicine.
Well, that's the safest thing today,
was
right?
Was it fentanyl?
No.
It was
I've had fentanyl when I went into gallbladder surgery.
Oh, okay.
They put a patch on you and stuff, but...
drugs aren't cool.
I know. I've done a lot of drugs. Look at me. Look at how innocent I look.
So
I've done a lot.
From Colleen... Okay, what's Aaron's social media? I need to follow her.
Oh
yeah, Aaron's social media. Okay. Oh.
My my social media. You can find me, Aaron Riley,
at
on
Hot
Facebook.
Mess.
No, at Aaron, at the life of Aaron Riley on
Twitter.
Not on Twitter, on Instagram. And I think it's the life of Aaron Riley on Twitter. Anyway, Twitter, you can, I mean, I'm on Atheist Nomad stuff, so you can follow me, which I love.
I follow you on social media.
Yeah.
On Twitter, life of Aaron Riley.
Yes.
At life of Aaron Riley.
Can you put in your address, please? yeah. So I mean, I talk about it on stage
a little bit. Apple still doesn't have swipe.
Oh,
you
I guess.
Install,
no.
You can install
oh.
it.
But yeah, I mean, patrons, we could talk about that more. I do have a bit about cocaine now, because I did do something. I didn't actually realize till recently, and I think we talked about this, I didn't actually realize till recently that I was kind of a drug addict. Like I am.
Like you're recovering, or are you still
I like certain drugs.
Like, are you still cool is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I'm totally cool. I just don't drink anymore.
Yeah, me either. I kind of gave that up.
Only because it hurts my stomach.
So,
and I'm very vain. And I'm very vain because I notice that after the day after I drink, I'm like, oh man, my wrinkles under my eyes are really horrible. So I'm like, fuck it, I can do drugs instead.
Okay. Yeah. So from Fat Girl Ballet, music on MDMA is incredible.
Yes. Okay. So there was. I mean. Listen, it was amazing. It was a really fun time. Music was fun. We watched some comedy stuff, which was really interesting. And just like if you're with a really cool person, just talking. So it was fun. I'm thinking about it now and I can feel it. And I'm like, oh, this is such a fun, euphoric, lovely time.
Batgirl Ballet said drug user, not drug abuser.
Yeah, exactly.
There is a big difference.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, when I did cocaine, it was definitely an abuse.
Yeah.
For sure. And so it got to a point where I had dropped, like, the last time that I did cocaine, I had dropped like $100 to sit by myself in my room and organize my closet, which then, you know, still high. I was like, okay, this is not the reason why we're doing this.
Now you're divulging patron only content.
Ooh, sorry. Actually, you can see that at a show because that's part of my joke. Okay. So
that's fine, too.
That's a bit.
Yep, come to a show or get behind the paywall.
Yeah, exactly.
Both have a paywall.
I mean, so this is part of Aaron the Dirty Laundry. You're just getting a taste, just a little taste, kind of like, you know, the first
just
time
like
you do
smelling
coke.
It.
All right, and if you're in the video, here's Rocco.
What's up, Rocco?
But Jason, did you say you didn't grow up religious?
No, I grew up in a household that just didn't care.
Yeah. So what did you do? Like, what did you do on Sunday? First of all, are you from Idaho?
Yeah. Like, all right. I was born in Mississippi.
Okay.
But we moved at the age of two before I developed an accent or racial attitudes.
Nice.
Camera.
So
look at the camera.
I know I know he's like, but I want to.
I'm so personable.
Okay. So then you moved to Idaho at two?
Yeah, I moved to Idaho at two. There's pictures of the move in like a bunch of photos I have boxes of. And in a lot of them, I'm on a leash. So it's.
It's kind of interesting. Leash kid?
But we were also at like a rodeo, and I remember being told that I was on the leash because I kept trying to go out to the bulls.
Okay, if I am a firm believer that if you are not a adult human animal, leashes are often necessary. So this applies to dogs and small children.
Yeah.
Yeah, it applied to me.
Right.
So it's probably why I like being collared now. No.
Yeah.
But you know, look at how many kids' little kids' backpacks have leashes attached to them.
Yeah, they do.
It's smart.
And they're adorable.
It's
they're
a harness
like
with a leash.
Right. So my question is, was it in Boise that you grew up? Like, or
it was not in Boise, not until later on. But when we first came to Idaho, we were around a lot of small towns.
Okay.
I grew up in Haley and Salmon and Emmett.
So that makes a little bit more sense to me of why it wasn't such a big deal, because I grew up on the west side of Boise and that was Mormon Central.
But
so
Jason,
like I heard about that a lot when I was
at least you moved
younger.
To the valley early enough or to the region early enough to learn how to pronounce the city correctly.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
sure.
Boise.
I mean, who the fuck cares? No one cares. Boise.
I do.
Boise. La Boise.
Right. But my, I guess that's the whole why I was asking, like, what did you do on Sundays? And did anybody give you a shit for not doing shit on Sundays?
I would ride my bike and play Ninja Turtles and read and be ignored by my parents.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole reason I had video games was because I would pay so much attention to them and it was easy to manage me.
Yeah.
But like, that's cool, why that's can probably finish Mega Man 2 on one life still.
Huh. And that's why you love Harry Potter video games so much. No, just kidding.
No, I like that because it's an interactive novel and I've grown attached to the characters. And I like how Marula Snyde has kind of come around from being the Draco Malfoy substitute to being a friend.
Oh, okay? Good. Oh, good. No, that's great. Don't give me side eye right now. I can see you.
It's my Popeye face.
Yeah. So what made you want to, I mean, what made you want to, because you went to, you've started school later in life. Like, what made you want to go into a science? And, I mean, how did that happen?
Well,
need to know more about Jason.
Okay. Well, I always have liked science. Yeah. It was probably the things that I was best at in grade school. But when I was in my great long suck of working in data entry, I found myself being attracted to scientific podcasts. And what really pushed me over the edge was The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe was one that I started consuming. And I listened to it from the beginning. And when you're working 50 hours a week, right on. Yeah, that's the prize.
That's the book. That's the prize.
We're giving away the book.
Right.
Yep.
I'm friends with Bob Novella on Facebook, even though he doesn't know who I am. That's okay. I still like him. But yeah, I listened to that whole podcast, like up to, I haven't listened to it in a while just because I've gotten busy, but I really like the idea of having a fundamental scientific knowledge and background to evaluate who was full of shit or not. That's like the whole thing. Like, I like the idea of not being tricked. I like the idea that of knowing who's trying to fool you with, like, their, I was drawn to the fallacies of arguments for the same reason. I took a class at Boise State called Reason Discourse that would talk about the Toulmin model of arguments and how to analyze the unspoken claims and the warrant and the grounds. And I loved it. I was really drawn to that. I really like being able to put together structured thoughts and arguments and know why you believe what you believe and know when to base it on evidence and to know when you're speculating, to be able to know when you might have gaps in knowledge.
Right. Well, the scientific theory should be, everybody should know it.
Hey,
so what do we know? What do we want to know about Jason? What do we want to know about Jason? So Jason,
what's my perfect Sunday is what Lauren keeps yelling. So I will tell you.
What's your perfect Sunday?
Neapolitan, banana, pineapple, whipped cream, hot fudge. And I'll do a cherry on top, even though I won't eat it because I know too much about what it gets stored in.
Right.
But it's still, you know, you got to,
you know,
looks.
Did you know that the maraschino cherry was made at Oregon State University?
No.
So I will eat them. But they're ruining cherries. It's true.
Yeah, it's true.
I know.
But my perfect Sunday otherwise is, I don't know. I haven't had a good Sunday in forever. Sunday is the day you do all the homework you should have done like 3 weeks ago.
Right. Since for at the home listener and not the viewer. No, everybody. You are in school right now.
No, right now I'm at Dustin's house.
Well, yes, but I mean, in general, in life, you are going to...
Yeah, I am finishing my junior year in a physics degree with a biophysics emphasis.
Right. So you're smart.
Kind of.
You're smart.
All right, sure.
Stop looking at me. Look at the camera.
Look, I'm looking at the camera and I'm giving you side eye. And you're just going to have to deal with it. Like, I am a dynamic human. I can't just sit here and stare at the camera.
Jason, people want to know.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Okay, what do they want to know?
Our friends want to know why we have such a weird relationship.
You and me?
Yes. They say that we have a weird. So this is like, yes.
Who
Lauren
says, that?
Lauren says it's like a sibling relationship. People say that every time we're around each other, they're like, what's happening with the two of you? Why do you guys give you... I think
sexual
it's like,
tension.
No. No. I feel like... no. I feel like we just like to give each other shit.
But
and
just,
that freaks
just so
people
you know,
out.
That emphatic denial really hurt my feelings.
No, it didn't. Stop it. I would say it's like... I feel like now I'm blushing. And
it's because you like me.
Well, yes, I like you as a person. We're friends. We don't talk as much anymore. This is the couch that we're going to work out our shit.
Sure, why not?
Let's do it. Because we don't talk as much anymore, and I think it's because you're in school. And yeah. Then I have a dramatic life that happens, and I don't want to bother you with it ever. But then I feel like then we don't talk for a while, and then it gets weird.
I don't think it gets weird.
Okay,
like, it doesn't feel weird at all from my end. Like,
yeah, I
just assume
understand.
That you're busy as well.
Yes, I am actually very busy with my sitting and talking on Facebook to people all day
long. You are
long.
Always got the green dot on Facebook. I will say that.
Yeah.
You're right. Too available. I don't want to just...
I know. I really am too available.
Okay, so... have a little mystery.
So from chat, we got Fat Girl Ballet with... they were one of my first podcasts too, so Skeptic Guide.
Awesome, yeah.
We got Sojo Dancing, Heathen. Hi, I tuned in late, but enjoying this. Awesome. Welcome, Sojo. You've been a patron for a long time. Thank you. You rock. And Colleen Rose, I like Jason's voice. He's got a great voice. The mic
he
is
does.
Picking up his breathing.
What?
Yeah, that
Am
can
I breathing
happen.
Too much?
No, don't worry about that.
I do got
don't
fat guy breath.
And
he does have a great voice.
Fat Girl Ballet with What's Your Dream Car and Last Full Album You Listen To.
Is that for me or...
For everybody.
My dream album? No. my dream car?
Dream car.
I want something that looks weird. I don't know. Like, I was really drawn to the Nissan Juke because it looks weird, but I don't think they're making it anymore. So now it's maybe the Nissan Kick. But I want it in TARDIS blue, and I kind of do want the Ooh. Police box, like, visor at the top.
What's the last full album you listened to?
Well, I haven't listened to the full album, but I have started listening to Pearl Jam again.
Nice.
It's
yeah.
because I got the song Elderly Woman stuck in my head and I've been singing it constantly and my wife hates me because I sing it too much.
Whatever.
But, you know.
Just,
all right. So the last full album I listened to probably ended up actually being Nightwish did a Greatest Show on Earth thing with Richard Dawkins. I think that's probably the last one I actually listened to.
Not with Hugh Jackman?
All the way through.
No. Okay, so the last album I just listened to just dropped yesterday. It's Lizzo's album. Please, everybody, go and check it out. Lizzo's amazing. She's very body positive and just fucking gorgeous. And her voice is awesome. And she's a flautist. And she twerks while playing the flute. Also, maybe someday we'll talk about the second concert I went to. Jinx is part of the story, and that'll be fun.
Wait, who is Liz? I feel like I
Lizzo,
should follow her.
Lizzo.
Okay.
Lizzo. I'm actually going to see her. This is why it works out so well that we're doing 5 hours now, because next week I'm in Portland specifically to go see her sold out show.
Okay.
I'm in Portland in a month.
Okay, ooh, so fun. Dream Card. Jason, did you cover that one?
Yeah, it was the weird cars.
Okay, Aaron, did you?
No, I didn't. So my dream car, like, I don't give a shit about cars. I used to be like a really avid, like, trying to be nature person, and so I wanted like a CRV or something that would get me into the backcountry, and lately I'm like no. So I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think about cars as dream cars.
Okay, so my new one, and this is because
just what you could talk about.
I know exactly. Just
no, this
just
was a
like,
question.
Stop talking. Yeah.
This was a question from the back of ballet.
Question.
We got to answer this.
Right. We got to.
So mine, I would have to say, I bring it up kind of as a joke periodically to keep Lauren from
God no
not a bus.
Okay.
A
no
15-passenger Sprinter van with the I'm blanking on the name of it, but some kind of adventure mobile.
Meyer Wiener mobile.
They do 4-wheel drive lifted awesome setups. So you take this van and you can disengage either drivetrain, so either axle, in case you need to try to get out of a really rough spot that you get into, and you turn it into a motorhome, which realistically in the current environment with housing and wages and all of that, yes, it would be very handy to have when time is good a adventure mobile.
Is this a survivalist type thing? Are you like when the apocalypse comes?
Let me continue. But when the economy is good, you've got a vehicle to get you out into adventures with the family, mobile studio in it, all that kind of stuff.
And then
when the economy is really bad, you have a place to live when you get evicted from your still getting basically 2010 rent.
Yeah.
Duplex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which we are currently in.
Right, right, right. And so that way you can use all your survivalist knowledge. Actually, now that you said that, though, I really do, and I guess this means dream car, I really do want to get like a little RV thing and then go and visit all the national parks and monuments. That seemed like a fun vacation for me at one point in time. Now I'm like, gas prices are fucking ridiculous, so no fucking way.
Right, but if you can live in it, if you get evicted from or priced out of your place, then,
you know, because I could just do that on my nonprofit paycheck to paycheck job right now.
Well,
next question from the chat. I knew that's what you really did is Facebook all day. That was from Kelly Dole you.
Yes. Gosh darn it. Hey, Kelly, please don't say anything at work about that.
Streaming has stopped.
Which streaming? Well, like...
Streaming status is good now.
Okay. Hey, what's up, stream?
Hey,
okay.
Hey, Kelly, I knew you were listening kind of. And then as soon as I said it, I was like, you know what? I have a coworker listening and she has the office next to mine.
Yeah, this girl messaged me for 3 hours straight during a business day once. No, I'm just kidding. She likes
I still get my work done though, okay? I sit and wait for emails, and I do orientations and I get my work done.
Okay.
I just happen to also sit on Facebook sometimes.
My God. I'm sorry, but like I knew you were going with Facebook, but I kinda edited out the word book.
Now, okay, so from Kelly Dole, hey, that was yesterday.
Well,
is this somebody you work with?
Yes.
You're
busted. Oh, this is your coworker that
That's
you were telling
I just
me about.
Said,
yeah. Okay.
Drunky. I could tell you've been drinking a bit because they're not listening very well.
God, you just went a little Irish. You were drinking a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes when I get really excited because I've been hopped up on the caffeine right now. And the fact that I just got busted at work. And please, Kelly.
Please, Kelly, change the conversation.
Right. Please, Kelly, don't share my secret.
No, I do
Kelly,
like that
give Aaron as much shit as you possibly can. Because one of the things I learned from Jason that helped cement him as a regular on the show and Aaron as a co-host for the show is the fact that it is so much fun giving Aaron shit.
Yeah.
I mean, like most people, it's just rude and mean, but Erin is fun.
Erin's fun. She takes it so well. She doesn't go home and cry about it later. It's totally fine.
Okay, from Kelly, she was talking for 3 hours yesterday, not working.
Talking for 3 hours?
Kelly, you got some vendetta here. What's going on? Let's talk about that.
Like, I was working yesterday. There was some stuff that was coming in.
Now, today, Erin is working for 5 hours. And we'll be paid far less than minimum wage.
Yeah, you get paid in sandwiches.
No,
yeah, and cheese that I brought myself. Guys, you don't realize I'm like seriously sitting here shitting myself at this moment.
Did you eat too much of that cheese?
No, I'm just like, I'm a little bit sweaty and nervous about the fact that I have a coworker who's listening.
Oh,
and
she just said, I'll give her S star star star. Or asterisk. She's tops.
Shit.
Yes, she's a hard worker.
Oh, thank you.
There you go.
Are you not shitting yourself now?
No, I'm not shitting myself now. Okay. Like, it's have to go to Twin Falls twice this next month.
Oh, wow.
To teach someone how to put on orientations, which I love. But, you know, that means that I have to go to Twin Falls twice next month.
it's a short detour down to Jackpot, so.
Yeah. No, it'll be great. I mean, they'll pay for my mileage the middle of the next month.
Okay, so, Aaron, you have somebody from work listening in, watching this.
Maybe.
Seeing you right now, give her eye contact.
I'm giving you eye contact.
Yeah.
Kelly.
Gotta look at the camera.
But I see her every, I see her like almost every day.
But that's okay for your job. You don't work in a place like me where I had a birthday luncheon yesterday with one of the chaplains and the director of mission integration pouring me a refill on my iced tea while one of the chaplains who also had a birthday this month sitting there.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Instead, I eat guacamole from a birthday luncheon and then have an allergic reaction that makes me go to Albertsons and have to get a Benadryl in the middle of the day. That's what happened to me yesterday. I'm finding out that I'm like allergic to some weird preservative. And every time it gets a little bit worse. I'm just waiting for the day that I'm going to go into anaphylactic shock because I'm like, whoops, oops.
Oh, man.
That? Do I need to bring an EpiPen?
Yeah.
A crazy thing for me. Oh, so from Kelly again, no, you guys are hilarious. This is great.
Oh, perfect.
I had the point about the time I moved to Boise, I was starting to have allergic reactions. I'd already had at least one ER trip by the time I moved here.
No, we're talking about illnesses.
You talk about allergic stuff.
I know. Yeah.
What I found is after I went to an allergist to actually find out what's going on,
right.
It's oral allergy syndrome. I had started thinking before that I was allergic to all pesticides or preservatives wasn't quite sure what.
Right.
No, it's just my immune system confuses certain fruits for pollens.
Interesting.
And if during peak allergy season, you just avoid most fruits, everything is fine.
Maybe that's it. I don't know. Maybe because it seems that, well, first it started with almond extract. I can't have any pure almond extract that hasn't been cooked. And then it was these like...
You might be allergic to almonds. That is an actual thing.
No, I actually eat almonds and almonds fine. It's the almond extract. It's a weird thing.
Then it could be oral allergy syndrome.
It could. Actually, I'm thinking maybe that might be it. Because then the next time it was like these wonton chips that had like this wasabi coating on it. And then it got worse.
You can deep fry wontons and pour Alfredo sauce over them, and it's marvelous.
Oh, Italian nachos.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, but do you know it's 2 o'clock, Dustin? It's 2 o'clock. We're at the end of the hour. No.
We are actually 5 minutes from the hour because we went 4 minutes over last time.
Oh.
We've got recording hour versus actual hour because we need to have an hour of content per episode.
Look at this guy.
These get split into.
Okay,
so we're running the light.
So we're running the light. We got to wrap it up, though. We got 4 minutes to wrap this baby
up. What questions do you have for me and Aaron, listeners?
About
our weird relationship.
Currently, likely, our peak concurrent is 7 people, and our total view time right now is 5 hours.
We're done.
No.
Dustin, no. Jason, let's plug you.
Okay.
Let's plug you right now. Where are you going to be? What's happening? What's going on with your life?
What's going on with my life is I have 2 or 3 weeks left in school.
Yay.
And then I'll be done for the summer. And I have a week off before I have to start full-time biophysics membrane research.
Which sounds actually fascinating.
Yeah, and that research I am excited about. I'm doing a couple of projects this summer. I'm going to be working on creating a synthetic membrane out of a oil water interface using a droplet immersed in an organic solvent to where lipids form a natural monolayer around the water. And then at the bottom of the chamber, there's like a flat planar membrane too. And then we can actually like smoosh them together and create a bilayer between the two. And then we can use that to do studies on transmembrane voltages. So that will be exciting. I'm looking forward to that. And it improves on previous techniques because it used to just be a hydrogel, but now we can do a aqueous solution, which means we can change the buffers and electrolytes and increase the size and the surface area of the bilayer. So it's really opening up possibilities for experiments.
Awesome.
And then I'm also looking at liposomes and creating liposomes that can carry chemotherapy drugs through the bloodstream. And we're learning how to target them to only break at tumor sites.
And then
as the concentration gradient goes down, as it goes away from like the site, it goes to non-deadly levels, which means it has a potential application down the road of targeted chemotherapy instead of global, which would improve quality of life for cancer patients.
For sure.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Nice. That is pretty amazing.
See, so I'm not just pretty.
Do you also have any comedy stuff coming up?
I do.
I want to plug that too.
What I have on the books right now is I'm doing Aaron's open mic, Edge Brewing.
Yes.
I'm going to be on the next one just as a regular person, but like on June 9th, I'll be the headlining comic.
Yes, yes.
And then in May, I'm going to Tri-Cities to do Joker's Comedy Club for 3 nights.
Cool.
I think it's the weekend of the 23rd, but the Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, I'll be the feature comedian for that weekend.
Nice.
And then in August, I'm the feature comedian with Sherry Jaffit and host Aaron Riley at Liquid Labs in downtown Boise.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to that because like I've kind of discarded remembering my jokes and just make everything up on stage. And I've been having a great time with it lately.
Oh, nice. Are you having fun?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
I'm having a lot more fun than worrying about like structure and order or whatever. Right. So it's making it more enjoyable for me.
And where can we follow you?
You can call, follow me. Well, I leave my house around 8.
Here's my address.
I'm on Facebook. I'm friends with Erin, so if you follow her, you can find me through that. Or I don't remember. I think it's Mr. Jason Ward. But whenever I do my name on social media, because there's so many goddamn Jason Wards in this world, I misspell my name the way I always mistype it. So it's J-A-O-S-N Ward. Like Jowson, but
yeah.
I always type my name that way the first way, and I just decided to run with it.
Yeah.
So my Twitter is that Jason Ward with the misspelling. So is my Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We are out of time. So Jason, thank you very much.
I'm out of here.
And listeners, remember, not all those who wander are lost. Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.